All right, we have been on a series. The series is called Identity Theft. And so much of how we act in the world and so much of how we respond to the situations and circumstances around us has to do with who do we think we are? And do we have any idea of who God is? And so forever there has been a battle over you. That battle has been between Satan and God, and the battle is this: will you know who you are? All the promises of God are available to every person, to all humanity. All the promises of God are there for us. And it is Satan who is saying, I have got to keep them from knowing who they are. Because if they ever know who they are, they'll start acting like who they are. And if they start acting like who God has truly made them to be, they will be dangerous. And so we can't allow them to be dangerous. So we got to keep them deceived, and we got to keep them down, and we got to keep them broken so that they can never know who they truly are. Because once they do, that there's no going back at that point. There's no unknowing. Once you know, there's no unknowing. You may go through some periods in your life where you struggle, but it seems like you've always got a compass at that point that gets you back to center. And so this is so important. And the message today is about belonging. And so I would ask you this question: Where do you belong? I can't help but as I was preparing for this, I was thinking, I may be dating myself and I'm not sure. Any of you remember that show on television, Cheers? You remember that show? Where everybody knows your name. That's right. That's the only part of that song I know. Yeah, I looked it up on YouTube and there's like 3 or 4 minutes of that song. And I'm like, huh, I never knew all those lyrics were in there. I don't think they sang that during the song. But it was a place, right? It was a bar. It was a place that you could go in and everybody knew your name and everybody had problems and nobody judged each other and you just could kind of hang out, and it was just a great place to be. And I thought about this. I said, the only problem with that is, that's almost right, actually. That's almost right. But the only problem is, when you leave that situation, your problems are still the same. You know, it's kind of like the thing is, check them at the door, because as soon as you leave, you're going to have to pick them back up and take them back with you, you know? And so it's just this sort of self-medicating thing that goes on. But we long for a place to belong. There's something inside of us that we want to belong to something. And so I've got another self-appraisal. I'm skipping around a little bit, you guys, with the PowerPoint. I'm sorry. But I want to move this up. I want to ask you a couple of questions just so you can find yourself in the message here. And so a self-appraisal every now and again is good. I want to ask you a couple of questions. Do you ever feel isolated and alone when you're in a room full of people? Maybe when you're in a church, you ever walk into church and you feel isolated, you feel alone, you feel like everybody else has got everything going on and they know everybody and they just feel apart, and yet you walk in and you go, why is there a room full of people and I feel so alone? And it's not just in church, it can be anywhere where there's a room full of people and you just feel like you're the only one that doesn't fit there. That's that need inside of us to belong, and it is not uncommon to you. And some people wonder, well, why is it when I walk into a place, nobody makes me feel like I belong? I would venture to say it's because everybody else is walking in trying to belong too. You ever thought about that? They're right where you are. See, we think everybody's perfect, right? Particularly in the church, we think everybody's perfect. And so we think all the perfect people are there. I'm the only imperfect one going, and so I'm the only one that feels like I don't belong. And I would venture to say that in this room, there are many people that aren't quite sure if they belong or not. And that's why it doesn't happen the way we sometimes think that it should. Do you long for approval from other people? Do you strive for people's approval? Some people are jokesters, right? And some people just funny by nature, but there's this tendency sometimes that you gotta be the jokester, you gotta be the one that everybody likes, and everybody, you light up the room, because when you light up the room, you belong. There are some people who they long for approval, and so they just do whatever, whatever you need to do in order to fit in. Ran into a guy. He said, the reason that I have drank and the reason I have done drugs all my life is because I felt like there was no place that I belonged. And so when I drank and when I did drugs, it felt like I belonged with those people. Only problem is, when I end up in really bad places, those people are never around. You ever notice that? You ever notice that? When that stuff winds you up in different places, the hospital or wherever, those folks aren't there. So there has to be a place that we belong where we can stick. That's what we're talking about today. Another one. Do you need to control every situation? Anybody like that? That if you're not controlling the situation, that thing's dangerous, right? And so I got to control it. And so I'm gonna manage everything. I'm going to take charge. I love sometimes to just sit back. You ever do that? And watch when there's a situation going on and nobody is exactly in charge. You ever like to just sit back and observe that situation? And you'll watch. Somebody's generally going to step up and take charge. Because there's somebody out there that says, this thing is really chaotic and I'm nervous and I don't like it. And so I got to take charge. And then I love those other people that they're like, chaos is just the way I like it. There's some folks like that too. I like it chaotic. I function well in that environment. Are you critical of others? This is one the Lord was showing me this week. A lot of times we are critical of situations and we're critical of people. We always see the bad things that are going on. Why? Because then we can jump in and fix it. Did that ever strike any? Today, that is this week, that is a new revelation for me. Is that sometimes we are so critical of what goes on because when we're critical, we can then be the expert. And it feels that sense of sort of belonging. Fellas, we know how to do it. We coach our quarterbacks and our coaches, you know, football's getting ready to be back right. Yeah, you know. And so when a situation's going on, whatever it may be, we're critical of work. And we're critical of how things are being done. Why? Because it makes us feel good somehow. Now, whenever I feel that thing rising up in me, I just hate it. You know, I hate when I feel it stirring. When I begin to feel critical of someone or something, and it begins to stir, I'm like, oh, that ain't God. You know, I'm like, get away. Just leave me alone. You know, because I don't want to be critical. I don't want to be that guy that sits back and acts like he can figure everything out, and then when I look at my own life, I'm like, well, look, okay, y'all, the reason that I'm a mess is because you don't understand my situation and my circumstance. Right? That's kind of what it ends up being. I can fix everybody except me. You know, I can fix everybody but me. And then, are you easily influenced and intimidated by others? If any of those fit, then there is a chance that there is a need for belonging inside of you. And I would tell you that the only place you're going to find it is in the places that I'm going to tell you next. This first one is my absolute favorite. Where do you belong? First and foremost, you belong in the presence of God. Did you hear that? Say that to yourself, just quietly down low. I belong in His presence. Say that again. I belong in His presence. Some of you don't believe that. I know you don't. You know, I know you're probably struggling with, man, I don't know. I'm a little afraid of His presence. I really don't think I belong in His presence. I think I've done probably too much to really be at home in His presence. I want to take you on a journey in Scripture. And so I'd like to take you back to familiar territory, Genesis. It's chapter 3. It's verse 8. This verse, let me just read it and then I'll begin to kind of explain it. I'm in Genesis 3, chapter 3, verse 8. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. This is Adam and Eve. This is after they've sinned. And so they're nervous. They're afraid. They're waiting because they know God's coming at some point. And it says, they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees in the garden. That's the first place when we start hiding from God. If you want to know where that started, it starts right there. It's the very first place you find it. When we're no longer comfortable in the presence of God. It happened right there. They sinned, and so they were afraid of what God would say, and they were afraid of what God would do, and so they hid themselves from God. Anybody out here been hiding from God? And then it says, then the Lord called to the man, and He said to them, where are you? I've told you this before, but so many times the church has told people that when you sin, God can't look on sin. And it sounds good to me, but when I look here in Genesis chapter 3 and the people sin, what did God do? He called them by name. He went down to them, you know? And so that whole thing of God hiding His face and all, right here in Genesis, God did not hide His face from Adam and Eve. In fact, He walked down in the garden just like He always did. And He called them by name. And it says, where are you? And he said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And so here's the situation. They have been in the garden. They have sinned. And so now, because of sin, they're hiding from God. And it starts this thing that happens with all of humanity, is that we find ourselves wanting to hide from God because this sin has separated us. If you want to know where we became alienated with God, it was right there when sin entered the world. If you want to know where we became wanderers and drifters and loners, that's where it started, right there. And then all of humanity ever since has been following in those footsteps of the ones who have been separated because of sin, and they hide themselves from God. And I want to tell you that it breaks God's heart, because you were meant to be in His presence. Let me tell you this is a real cool thing. It appears that God came down in the cool of the day and He spent time with Adam and Eve, because they knew the sound of His coming. So apparently it had happened before. Because they knew that sound of Him coming. So apparently He would come down in the cool of the day and He would meet with them. And that was before sin. When you enter His presence, I bet many of you, the only thing you think about is sin. I bet the only thing you think about is what you've done wrong and how you've messed up and how you really don't belong in His presence. You ever thought about what Adam and Eve talked about before they sinned, when God just came down and wanted to spend time with them? And I wonder if that's not supposed to be the kind of life that we live. It's that we're supposed to be able to have a relationship. We're supposed to enter into His presence. And it's not always about sin. I'm going to tell you how you get out of the sin dilemma in just a minute. But I've thought about that. You know, God comes down and, you know, maybe God looks at Adam and Eve. He says, "What do you do today?" Adam says, "Oh, you know," like John D. He's like, "You see that bird right there? I'm calling it a wren. Isn't that a cool name?" And God goes, "Yeah, that's a good name. I like that. Good. Because that's what I put you in charge over. So, you know, that's awesome." And he's like, "You see that right there? That is the strangest animal I've ever seen in my life. I'm calling it a hippopotamus. Because it just fits, doesn't it, God?" It's like, "Yeah, it just fits. I did make that one kind of weird, you know." There's over 100,000 or so species of frogs. Did you know that? That blows me away. Do you know why there are 100,000 species of frogs? You don't need 100,000 species of frogs. You really don't. That's God just showing off. You know, He's just showing off. You know, and so Adam says, "Look, I need 50 frogs. God says, "Yeah, that's good. The next thousands of years, people are still going to be trying to find the frogs that I've created and name them." You know, I love that. John D. and I have this thing where I'm like, you should know God's favorite flavor of ice cream. And you should know what He likes on His pizza. And some of you are going, "Do what? Does God like ice cream? I didn't know that." Yeah. You ought to be able to talk to God about something other than the sin in your life. You ought to be able to enjoy the presence of God where you can just talk to Him about your day. And some of you are saying, "No, oh please, I want to. I have never thought about asking God what His favorite flavor of ice cream is. I have never thought about asking Him about pizza." How do you get there? And here's how you get there. You see, we were separated from God. We were isolated. We were strangers. We were aliens, and we were afraid, and we could not do anything about it. And neither can you. And so we had to have a Savior come, whose name is Jesus. And what He did is He paid for our sin that started in the garden, and He paid for the sin that has been in your life since the very beginning. And He made us right with God. Why? Because God wants to fellowship with you. Do you see, if all you do is just get sin out of your life, you're only about halfway to where God wanted you to be. Yeah, He wants to cover your sin. Why does He want to cover your sin? Because He wants to restore the fellowship that He had in the garden. Oh, that's good. Amen, Kevin. That was a good point. I was waiting until I got there. I know you didn't know it was coming, but I knew it was, and I was prepared to amen myself. Yeah. That's what He's been after. He doesn't just want to cleanse you of sin. He wants to put you back into a right relationship where you can talk about trees and cutting grass and the kids and how much you love them and work and how people are aggravating you and all of those things. He wants to talk about them with you. And so He begins to do that. And then in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, this is your new position. This is now how you can approach God. Hebrews 4, verse 16. The writer of Hebrews says, therefore, let us draw near with confidence. Oh, did you hear that? Because of Jesus, you don't have to enter into His presence afraid. You don't have to pray afraid. It says, enter, draw near with confidence. Why? Because Jesus said you could. So enter with confidence into the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. That's so good, I got to read it again. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. We belong in His presence. There is something inside of you that you cannot feel any other place. You can try, but you can't feel it. The only place you can find it filled is in His presence. I used to take people, and I'm sure that I still will, in a way of how you read Scripture. And I love this way of reading Scripture where you read it slowly and you read it over and over again and you put yourself in the story. There's a fancy word for it. I'm not going to give it to you. But you just kind of soak on some Scripture and you put yourself there and then you just allow God and you say, God, where are You? Jesus, where are You? Just show me where You are. And it never fails, y'all. Anytime I've ever done it, the majority of the people who have never done it before, they find themselves in things like this. One lady, she said, I crawled up in God's lap. It's like I could just see this dream or something happening while I was awake. I crawled up in His lap, and I just sat there, and God just held me, and it was awesome. You'll find that over and over again. Why? Because there's this longing inside of both of us. There's a longing in us for God that we somehow don't know how to feel, and there is a longing for God to be with us. And anytime you do that, you'll find people that find themselves in the presence of God. One man said, man, I know this sounds kind of weak, but I was on the playground playing with God. And somebody said, well, why were you on the playground playing with God? And he said, well, see, you don't understand. I grew up and didn't have a father. So I never had anybody take me on the playground and play with me. And I used to see dads who took their kids, and I'd watch them play, but I never had that. And I always wished that I'd had a dad. And so when You told me to do that, God took me on the playground. And He's the only one that would have known that I didn't have a dad, and that was the thing that I wanted to do, was to always have a dad that played on the playground. You see, God knows where you are. God knows what you had and what you didn't have. And God wants to feel that longing inside of you. Now, you know that's good, right? That's a good daddy. I don't know. You ever heard how a little kid says it sometimes? He's like, daddy. That's a good daddy. You know, and I heard a pastor one time, he said, we got a good daddy. That's the God who longs for us to be in His presence. And the only place you can find that thing that's missing in you folks is in His presence. And it's my job to look at you today and say this. You belong there. You belong there. You belong in His presence. He longs for you to be there. Do you hear that? There's nobody in this room exempt from that. There's nobody in here that doesn't apply to. That is the first and foremost place where we belong. We belong in a second place. It's in family. And I realize that we come, many of us, from these different backgrounds. And so we have broken families and we have problem families and troubled families. And so I'm not here today to present the perfect family to you and rub that in your face. But there is something about that I do want to bring out. And that is that once you have become family, even though things like divorce and death and so many things can separate us, you really can't go back and undo it, can you? You know, you really can't go back and not be a dad anymore. You can't really go back and undo being a son or being a daughter. And so there is this thing about that family, which is that when it is created, it's very difficult to be undone. And I got to tell you, I love that. That's one of the things that I love about family, is even when we see things like divorce and separation and death and all of those things, you know what? I am forever a son. I forever have a father. I forever have a mother, and I can't undo it. And there's something there that's very beautiful that is this real high mark in families that I believe God is calling the church to reestablish this for the world. And it is this. You belong in family because why? Because you were born into it. Right? And there's nothing you can do or not do that makes you any more or less of it. Now, it might hinder the relationships, right? But you are forever going to have a mama and a daddy. Every one of you. There's nothing you can do about it. You might even like them. That's what I like about it. It's so good. You can't undo it. You know? And it's like, you can't do anything to be more of it. You're just there. Why? You just belong in family. That's the center of belonging. You can't undo it. And that's the beautiful part about it. But so many people have experienced the brokenness of it. And so they need something. And it's this third place where we belong. We belong in community. We belong among believers. We belong in the church. And so many people, they look at the church and they go, that's the last place I belong. For whatever reason it may be, that's the last place I belong because you don't know how things are in my life and I just won't fit in there. Or I don't belong there because I got a really bad experience before of people who made me feel like I didn't belong. And so I don't want to go there. Don't tell me that I belong there. And I would say, despite what you feel, you belong in the community of believers. And so to express that to you, I want to take you to 1 Corinthians. You're going to love them. You think you got problems? Woo. If you ever think you got problems, just go read Corinthians. Oh, what problems? Let me get a drink of water while you turn to 1 Corinthians. Turn to the very first chapter, by the way. I know some of you have phones, so you don't always get the Bibles that have the preface of why this book was written. I want to tell you why 1 Corinthians was written. 1 Corinthians was written to the church at Corinth. What is the church of Corinth? The church of Corinth was a place where trade and travel all kind of worked its way through Corinth. And so it's a city almost like New York, a melting pot almost like America, where there's just all kind of different religions and nationalities and there's trade going on. And it is a place where a lot of sin is happening. There's just crazy stuff going on. In fact, they would say you're acting like a Corinthian. That's nice, isn't it? Do you know what acting like a Corinthian mean? It meant you drank too much. You probably were just, you know, messing around with all kind of people. It was just a wild and a crazy place where a lot of just sin and rebellion was going on. And so the thing of the day was you acting like a Corinthian. And Paul establishes a church there. And unfortunately, the church acts just like the place that it's around. Does that sound familiar to anybody? We live in a country that is a melting pot. We live in a place where there's a great deal of travel and commerce. And there's a great deal of sin and worldliness going on. And a church is established there, but unfortunately it begins to look a lot like everything around it. And so Paul has to write a letter to the church to try to help get them back centered. What's going on actually within the church? They're fighting with each other. They're bickering over stuff. They're taking each other into court. They're a very powerful church, though, which is amazing because that's a little different. If you're here with us, we are pressing in because we have read the Bible and we believe that God is good. We believe that God is a God of power. We believe that God still does miracles. We believe that God still heals. That's who we are. You ought to know that about us. That's where we're pressing in. Have we seen a ton of it? Not yet. But we're just getting started, in my opinion. And so I want you to know where we're headed. This church, they were already powerful. There were signs and wonders, and they were using their spiritual gifts. But the problem is they didn't know they belonged. And so they were using those things to create a place for themselves. And so they bragged about their gifts, and they used their gifts inappropriately in order to make themselves look good. And so they were completely abusing the gifts, and they were completely abusing the power. And Paul writes them a letter and says, fellas, ladies, we got to work this out. And so that is 1 Corinthians. Now go over to 1 Corinthians 13. Some of you thought that the only reason for 1 Corinthians 13 is because people get married and we needed something to read it at marriages, right? Hey, Noble, where's your drumsticks? Okay, good. All right. I want to read this to you, okay? I'm not going to squeal over here, am I? I've never been over here before. I don't know how the mic works. I think we're doing good. Read along 1 Corinthians 13 with me. It says, If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. He has to deal with speaking in tongues, and some people there were using it because they were wanting to make themselves look good. They weren't using it for the right reasons. And I think that's why he says, if you speak with the tongues of men and the tongues of angels. How many of you would like to speak with the tongues of angels? Huh? How many of you would like to sing like an angel? Yeah. He says, if I could speak with the tongues of men and in angels, but I do not have love, he says, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And he says, you're trying to do this. I love you. Did anybody know what I said? I said, I love you. But see, you couldn't hear it because I'm beating on these cymbals. And he says, it doesn't matter how you speak. If you speak with the tongues of angels or of men, if you don't have love, it's like somebody beating on a clanging cymbal. You ever had anybody do that? You knew they didn't love you, and so you couldn't listen to anything they had to say. And then, if I have the gift of prophecy, and I know all mysteries, and I have knowledge, and I have all faith. Anybody ever thought of that? If you knew all things, if you had all faith. Anybody want that? That would really make you something, wouldn't it? He says, so as to remove mountains, but you do not have love. He says, folks, you'd be nothing. He says, if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, there are folks that say, do you realize the sacrifice I am making for this church? Not here, I'm just saying in general. Anybody ever felt like that sometimes? Do you realize how much I am sacrificing for the kingdom of God? And Paul says, but if you do not have love, it profits you nothing. You shouldn't have done it. You're getting no credit for it. Do you know how much money I give? He didn't say that. I just added that. He says, I don't care. I really don't care because you didn't do it with love. And so it really means nothing. And so what is he trying to tell the church here? He is saying that all the things that we sometimes strive for in order to belong. If I was just a better person, I would belong there. If I was just more powerful, I would have a place somewhere I would fit in. And what Paul says is this. No, here's how you make people fit in. You love them. That thing was hiding in plain sight, wasn't it? Right? That was one of them truths. It was just holding, hiding out in plain sight. He says, all that stuff that you think is going to make you important, it is not going to make for a church where people feel belonging. He says, what will make people feel like they belong is that you love them. And so, folks, we're going to press into the gifts, and that's a big deal for us and how to use our gifts. But here's the thing. Do you realize those things are tools? They are tools to love people. Ooh, did you see that? Now you know why they're there. They're not tools to make you think, I finally arrived. I got a prophetic word. That's awesome. I must have arrived. Paul says, nah, that's nothing. Unless you use it in order to help somebody know that they're loved. Unless you use it to love on them. Somebody says, man, you know what? My faith is growing. It's awesome. The thing would be, all right, great. How are you using it to love somebody? The gifts are nothing but tools in order to love people. Because there are some folks and they do not realize they belong. So let me wrap this up. And then we're going to do something kind of neat at the end. There are people who say, I just don't know if I belong there. And I would say, would you please just keep coming? And would you please allow us to just love on you? Because this is not about a service. Belonging is not about coming in once a week. Being a Christian is not about coming in once a week. It's not something that you go to. It's something that you belong to. And so I want to ask you, will you just keep coming? And will you just have down deep inside of you that you're at home here, okay? That you're home. This is where you belong among believers. And give everybody a chance to get to know you and give everybody a chance to love on you. And that's how we belong. It's when we just love each other. All the other stuff is great. So would you give us an opportunity to just love on you? And you say, but you don't know what I've done. I don't have to know what you've done. Because I guarantee you, I can point you to somebody who's done that, maybe worse. All right, so now you're not as bad as you think you are. Yeah. And then there's people that say, you know, I've been hurt, Kevin. I've been hurt by church. And I'm scared to go back and give myself back to it. And I would say that the time of being a loner and a drifter, some people have a call for that. Most don't. Most people need to be in the body of Christ. And so if you've been hurt, I cannot promise you that somebody here won't hurt you. I can't do it. I can't promise you that if you come here that you won't get hurt. I can't promise you that I won't hurt you. I have to remind somebody every couple of days or so, I can't always be there for you, but you are not following me. I am trying to get you to follow Christ. So quit looking at me. You know, and I will tell you that. You're not coming here to get dependent on Kevin, and I love you, and I will be here for you as much as I can, but you're not supposed to be dependent on me. You're supposed to be dependent upon the Lord Jesus Christ, because I'll let you down, but He never will. And so we might let you down around here, but I tell you what we're going to do. There's more in this chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, and other places where it says, when you do mess this thing up, here's how you fix it. And I will tell you that if we hurt each other, we're going to do our best to fix it. Because we have to create an environment where people belong and where people are loved. And so I want to invite you into a couple of things. I want to invite you into this community of believers. We are not perfect. The only way you won't fit in here is if you are perfect. Okay? So if you are perfect, please don't come back. We're going to mess you up. Okay? That's the only person not welcome here. If you're perfect, don't come back. This is a bad place for you. Okay? But I want to invite you into community. I want to invite you into His presence. And if you are perfect, I invite you into His presence, because then you'll see what true perfection is like. And really, that is our purpose here. It is not to point you to Ember. It never has been. This is not about building Ember. This is about drawing people into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. If we miss that, we missed everything. That is the heart of this mission. It is not to draw people to Ember. It is to draw people into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you know what? You belong there. You belong there.